You cannot be serious! That ball was on the line!
And ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has just left the building.
Scores the goal to take England all the way to the World Cup Finals.
Well, take him out, son. I mean that. Take him out.
Konnichiwa, this is Yu Vocal.
Shalom, this is Matt Cohen.
Welcome to Big Lens Fast Shutter, where we demystify the world of sports photography. I forgot to actually tell you about this, but before we do news, we have someone who is going to be helping us, and his name is Rob. With two B's. We don't really know much about him, except for the fact that he lives in California, and he knows a lot more about the sound thing and mixing thing and all that kind of good stuff that we have absolutely no idea. He's a great guy, but I think as far as I know, he only goes by his first name, so he could be Brazilian for all I care. Actually, I do know his last name, but it would be more interesting if he only has one name. Rob.
And the podcast is over. Before it even began.
Okay. Yeah. So go ahead, Matt.
Here at News, both Ryu and I will tell you our best and worst shoot of the previous month. And we talk about ourselves because we're egomaniacs.
And Matt has a very high-pitched voice, and when he does try to do the whole low thing, it doesn't really work. But that is news, and we're going to start to talk about ourselves. I'm going to go because Matt's news is very short today, this month. My best shoot was I went to Croatia versus Serbia. A very big deal because it was the first official match after the war that went on during the 90s, as far as I can recall. Very bad one. The atmosphere was very strange because we only had Croatian people. Probably a very, very good decision. I don't think you want to have anything Serbian going on over there because it would be really, really bad. I also did hear after the match that players were forced to be ho-hum with each other during the match. But it was very quite intense match. Not a very good one, but it was very, very intense. And it was interesting to be able to be there kind of at a historical event. And I am planning to go to the reverse match, which is Serbia against Croatia in Serbia. So that should be interesting. My worst match was I went to a figure skating competition in Milan for 3 days and I was ill. It was really boring and I just had the worst time. And Milan, by all means, is an Italian city. If you don't know, I think there's like a Milan somewhere in America, but I don't really know. But there's a London in Canada, just so you know. It wasn't very interesting, and I was really ill, as I just said, and I just feel like I wasted 3 days of my valuable life, which just gets shorter and shorter each day because I'm 37, and in 3 years' time, I'll be as old as Matt, but by then, Matt will be 3 years older than me. He'll be even older. So, you.
Excellent, excellent introduction.
Old Matt.
I shot one thing this whole month. I was very, very ill. At the beginning of it, and then missed a bunch of things that I was supposed to shoot, including the first few Earthquakes games of the new season. Did manage to make it out to the park for the Earthquake Sounders match, which was really good. I was pretty happy with what I did, having not shot soccer for 6 months or so. It's good to get back out there, and I was pretty happy with the pictures that I made, but it was weird because half of their team got injured over the offseason, and so they have all new players who played. So it was difficult to try and figure out what they were going to try and do. The players that they have, I know pretty well, and I know what their tendencies are, but this was kind of a learning experience, trying to figure out how fast are they, which side do they favor. But I think I put it together. It was pretty good. But now that it's April, it is going to be rodeo season for the next 3 or 4 months, and so I will definitely have more than one shoot for next month.
It really is amazing, like how much like you can stretch with like one, you know, how much of a story you can actually stretch from one match. So you don't what you got to do, huh? And you were sick as well, Matt. I'm trying to defend you at this point now.
Yeah, I don't even want to get into how sick I was, but I should probably at this point be happy that I actually managed one shoot this month.
We should all be happy that he's still alive. That's about it, huh? With news, it's a bit boring. Sorry, it's not my fault. It's Matt's fault. So if you want to blame someone, then you know you can write to Matt Cohen.
I promise that I will have lots of things to complain about for the next episode.
Okay, that's it. In Masterclass, we pick a topic in sports photography and we discuss it front and back. We don't have someone today or this month, but we're going to talk about creativity and marketability of sports photography. It has come to our attention that there have been people who wanted to know what is better, creative photos or normal stock photos, and which one is more marketable towards magazines and media, like, you know, to the clients. I think I'm just going to just say what I think about it first, and Matt will just chime in after that. But what I think is that as a professional, I try to do both because, you know, I have different clients who want different things. I go to one match and I'll shoot differently for a couple of clients, or I'll shoot the whole thing and try to be as creative as possible. And I will have photos for all the clients and all the clients' needs. That usually is the case with magazines. If I have a, you know, advertisers, like, you know, big sports people, sports like, you know, like Nike and Adidas, I already said this in the blog post, but what they usually do is they usually give me quite loose framework to work with. So for instance, if I shoot for Adidas, they'll say, okay, I want you to shoot Adidas players only, but the rest you can do what the hell you want to do. Because the reason why they've asked me in the first place is because they like the way I shoot and they want me to use my style to shoot the football match. So I do that and I give it to them and they're happy. On the other hand, with the magazines, I just, you know, said it before, the whole the Nike and Adidas thing, is that they have different, you know, type of stories that they're going to write about for that particular magazine, and they want shots that will fit into that story. I have, you know, that framework to work with, and they might even actually put on top of that, like, oh yeah, we're looking for a horizontal, the landscape shot of a certain player, or a portrait shot of a certain player, blah blah blah, and all these things. And on top of that, they might say, okay, we're looking for a celebration shot, or we're looking for an action shot, blah blah blah. So the more constraints you have, in a way, less creative I can get. And that's fine, because I don't really mind, because that's part of the work I do, and this is how things are with the clients that I have. So in essence, if you're doing it as a professional, you have to be quite flexible. Sometimes you can just let it all go, and sometimes you just have to be really quite conservative with what you do. On the other hand, if you're not a professional, if you are an amateur, if you are a, you know, amateur, meaning if you do not have 99% of your income coming from sports photography, I think you should be as creative as possible, because I think that way you will be more happy, or be happier shooting these things, because you'll be a lot more different than the things that you see in newspapers, websites every day. So that is what I gotta have to say about that.
Yeah, I'm a little bit different than Ryu in that I have a lot more freedom to shoot. Like, nobody really tells me, like, they can say we want a picture of this cowboy, or we want, you know, we want a horizontal of this horse or something like that. And I'll do that, obviously, because that's where my money comes from. But nobody is saying to me, you know, just give me this picture of this pitcher winding up or something like that. Like, I take those pictures in the early innings of a game just so I have them, just in case somebody ends up being the big story of the game or something like that. I want to have a few pictures of them. I have a couple clients who are gear manufacturers. You know, they either make saddles or ropes or things like that for rodeo cowboys, and their advertisements are going to want to feature their products. So there's not a whole lot of ways you can shoot an action picture of a roper other than him swinging his rope. And they're not going to go for, you know, a half second exposure panning shot or something, because then the rope just looks like every other rope. Like, they want to see the detail of their rope, and they want to see how it flexes and how easily it comes out of the cowboy's hand. So I'm going to give them what they want as far as that goes. But in general, when I go out to shoot, I'm trying to make pictures that people are going to remember forever. You know, and it doesn't happen every time. It doesn't happen most times. But that is always my goal, because I, from time to time, will go back and have to look for a picture. Either I didn't tag it properly, or there's a bunch of different versions of it, and I need to go back and look through my pictures. A couple days ago, I redid my portfolio with new pictures and got rid of some old pictures and reorganized it. And I basically looked at every single picture that I've made, or every single sports picture that I've made in the last 4-5 years. And I have a lot of stock pictures, a lot of racing pictures that took place, you know, that I made in the first trip to shoot NASCAR and the first trip to shoot IndyCar. And there's 300 of them from the same position, shooting the same frozen action. This is from, I don't know, 2008 or 2009. And I forgot that I even had 300 of those pictures. Like, they're not even memorable enough for me to remember them. And it was my first time shooting IndyCars and my first time shooting NASCAR. That's how forgettable all of these pictures are. But then when I get closer to present day and I have drivers in their car waiting on the starting grid, or I have pit crews swirling around the car, or I have, you know, motorcycles going over jumps and guys completely disengaging from their bike when they're 40 feet in the air, these are the pictures that people are going to remember. And these are pictures that people will get in touch with me and say, I remember this picture you have of the motocross jumper, and I need to have this. That's what I want. I don't want somebody trolling through an archive where my pictures are, where everybody else's pictures are, and saying, oh, this one's good enough. You know, it's Tim Lincecum pitching for the Giants, and we just need one for this article. You know, creatively, I could really care less about those kind of sales, because they're not that much money. You know, if people are looking through an archive, and I used in the post that I wrote about this, I used Jeff Gordon race as a search that you can do on various archives. And I went onto Icon and I did that search, and there's 16 pages of pictures that look all exactly the same. And if I had some in there, or if I did it on a database where some of my pictures were, it would pull them up and they would look largely the same, the race action pictures. And I don't care enough about it. They're, all of those pictures means that the price for any given picture is going to be very low, because why would one of them be more expensive than another one? So if all those pictures are going to sell for $25 or $50, if it's in print or something like that, who really cares? You're not going to sell enough Jeff Gordon pictures to pay the rent doing that. I want to have feature pictures. I want to have something that jumps off the page. I want to have something that his sponsor is going to say, wow, we want this to be on our autograph cards, or we want this to be on our billboard or something like that. And you're not going to get it doing a stock action picture, because everybody has seen stock NASCAR action pictures for 20 years. They want something that's interesting. They want a good, tight picture of him sitting in his car where you can see their logo on his helmet. Or they want, you know, a crazy panning shot of him going through a corkscrew or something like that. So the pictures that they are seeking out are the pictures that I want to make. Ones that people are going to remember, one that's going to catch people's eye, and not just a car frozen on a track or a pitcher just letting go of the ball, because there's just so many of them that nobody's going to remember any one of them. You remember the player. Oh, yeah, the Lincecum twists his back all the way around when he pitches. Great. And you go to Icon and do a search for Tim Lincecum, and there's going to be 150 pages of Tim Lincecum stretching his back out pictures. I just don't care about that, because nobody's going to remember my picture swimming around in those. I'm going to make a panning picture of him, or I'm going to make a multiple exposure picture of him, or I'm going to get him joking around in the dugout, or I'm going to get him on an exercise bike or something like that, so that it's not a commodity anymore. And I don't want to have an archive full of commodity pictures when I stop doing this.
One last thing. So in case, you know, some of you who are listening to our show who want to become a sports photographer, and I'm sure there are some of them out there, the best thing you should be doing is taking really creative shots. Because like as Matt said, these editors have seen billions of the same shots. I mean, really, literally billions. And they're gonna forget about you. In an instant, they see a stock photo of any sport. Believe it or not, this industry is very, 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 very difficult to get into. If you want to do it full time, it's probably nearly impossible. And what's going to differentiate you and the rest of the field is going to be your originality and your creativity, and that's it. Because it's not a matter of like whether or not the editors like it. It's that they will remember you because you've taken something different than the others. So just so you know, because it's something that I do tell people who do ask me that they want to be sports photographers, but and I usually do tell them, like, you have to have your style. You have to have some kind of something different compared to the others, because we have enough sports photographers out there who does crappy jobs and does, you know, the cookie cutter stuff all the time. You want to add?
No, I mean, I think that we're in agreement, and I think that, you know, you should go and read the, Ryu and I both did a post on this on the blog, and, you know, this is something that we feel very strongly about, because this is what we're doing here. Like, when we criticize pictures on training ground, this is a large part of it. It's just boring. It's just stock. You didn't think about it. You didn't try anything. Like, I try not to get into this, is it art? Is photography art? Is sports photography art? Because you're always going to have people arguing, oh, no, you know, the digital blah, blah, blah. You know, it's different than a painting or something like that. But the same thought should go into your pictures as any other artist, whether they're drawing or painting or sculpting or whatever. Like, you still need to think about it. And your thinking comes when you're getting ready to go shoot something, and you need to be ready when it happens, because all of this stuff is happening at high speed. But there still needs to be thought involved. And like we've said a million times, we're not here to help you get a frozen action picture of two players going for a ball. That's, you know, it's not what we're here for. You can go join one of these forums that precipitated the two posts and this segment right now and look at a million pictures, and they'll help you figure out your shutter speed and what gear you need and whatever. That's great. That's what they're doing. But Ryu and I aren't taking time out of our schedule to help you take pictures like that. We're trying to help you get better at this and trying to help you make pictures that people will remember. Just like every time that we go out to shoot, we're trying to make pictures that people will remember. We're just doing something different. We're not, you know, this isn't a class. This isn't, you know, everybody needs to be at this level at the end of it. No, everybody needs to be doing their own thing at the end of it, and they need to be making pictures that people will remember.
Yep, that's it. So, you know, it's okay to be original. It's okay to be different. And be proud, you know, be very, very proud about the fact that you can do something different from other people. Thank you for listening to Masterclass, and we'll see you back next month. You Win is part of the show where you, the listeners, participate in a monthly themed competition. The top three photos will be presented on our site, and we might not have three each again this month. I'm going to go because I'm the one who's prepared this month. My third is Scalf Gold 024, and that is by Peter, and who is a contact for some reason on Flickr. It's a shot of a goalie. Ice hockey goalie, and there's a spotlight on him and there's a shadow. Now, the only problem that I really do have about this is that whether or not this has been post-processed to the point that it's unrecognizable from the original, or maybe it is really a spotlight thing. And what I like about the composition itself is that I like the shadow, that I was hoping it would be more extended to the bottom, because I would like to have actually seen top, bottom, shadow, and the vignetting kind of thing on each side would have been really, really good. So this is more so of, you've done a okay job. I hope you would kind of fix these things next time when you do it, because it could be really, really cool shot, because it would look like a mirror, especially the fact that the goalie's wearing red, and the spotlight, or whatever, the shadow that he's going to be casting also would be red. So it would have been really, really cool, but the shadow's chopped off at the bottom, and that's not very, very good. So that's my third.
Yeah, that was my second.
Okay.
I do like it. It really does. It jumps off the page. I don't mind the fact that it's not a perfect circle, or, you know, that it's not a mirror. I like that he went up top, and I like that, you know, it's like obviously pregame and the spotlight's on the goalie and he's preparing himself for what he needs to do. And it's definitely not an angle. You know, generally the angle for the goalie is off to the side a little bit or directly behind. I like that he's like, the his helmet shirt and shorts are all above the crossbar. So I like that, you know, the angle that he chose didn't cut anything off awkwardly. And that's part of composition is, yes, you're framing everything, and his framing could have been the same whether he was up 5 more rows or down 15 more rows, but the spot that he chose gave him a composition that looked like it was all put together and that was very carefully done. So I had that one second.
So you know who had only two photos. My second was the Arizona Diamondbacks versus San Diego Padres. And the reason why I like this, and it's the reason why this is second and not first, is that the bat is not in focus. Had it been in focus, I think I would actually put it first place. It's everything is, you know, the line, it's all great. Hopefully, I was kind of hoping that you had a bit more of the hand on the left-hand side, because it looks really quite abrupt when you see the whole thing kind of, you know. So if it had been a bit more towards the left, it had been a bit wider, it would have made, you know, just a great shot of three things going on: the catcher, the bat, and the batter. And it would have been really, really great. It's a shame, but I think it's I would actually think that he was looking for a shot like this or something very similar to it. So there's a thought that went into composing this photo, and that's why I give it second place. And you don't have a second place, so we're going to go to first place. You want to go first?
No, I did. Scarlet Gold was second. Yes, it would have been nice, but when the main thing that should be in focus isn't in focus, yeah, that's really, yeah, the end of the game. So
I'm giving it, you know, B plus for effort, F minus for execution. Yeah, okay. You know, I mean, sometimes you just have to, you know, throw them a bone. All right, you know, I'll let you go for the first. Which one's your first?
I think we're going to get this one.
Yeah.
It's Jay Jacobson.
It's not.
Oh,
it's
really?
Not.
How could you not have listed that one at
Jay
all?
Jay Jacobson.
The no. F1 Grand Prix. No, get out of here.
Go ahead. Why do you like that one so much? Tell me.
Well, I mean, we're talking about composition, and what he did was arranged all the elements exactly into their own little place. So it looks like almost a painting. Everything is perpendicular to where it should be, parallel to where it should be. And then the car is placed down on the bottom near the corner instead of the car being the center of the picture. It's really balanced, and I really like the care with which he went to make this picture. It's not just, you know, oh, well, I made the car real small or something like that, but it still matters what else is in the frame. And he has these blocks of color and the grass and the red and white safety strips, real architectural. And I like it because a lot of care went into this. Like some of the other ones that were entered, you could tell that somebody was actually trying to do something, you know, using foreground elements and background elements. But this one brought everything together where everything in the frame has its own place. And I really appreciate that.
No, I like this one too.
I can't believe that this wasn't in your top three.
Like with Formula One shots and things like that, I've kind of, you know, it's gone to a point, it's in a weird way, I've kind of seen it all. I don't really see anything really exciting about this one. And I saw, like, it's, you know, I've invited this photo, and I think I realized that, you know, a lot of thought went into the photo, but I just never really caught my attention that much. You'll see that my first one is by Brendan Bank, and it's Die Hard Surfers. It's surfing, and it's got the wind thing in the back. And the reason why it is a compositional thing is that it wasn't intentional. It was very intentional that he put that in the background, because if that's not in there, this is a really, really boring photo. But the fact that this is, you know, it's how often are you going to actually see surfing, and you're going to see these wind turbine things in the back? You probably won't. I thought about, like, how much that, and then he put that, the surfer on the right, which makes it, the wind turbines, the main thing, even if that's out of focus, we know it exists. That's why I just thought, it's like, wow, this is really well composed. It's something that it would just be great to have on, you know, people's walls, because of the fact that it's very unusual to have something like this in a competition that's based on water. So that's why I chose this one over the other one. Because the other one, I really honestly, like, it's racing photos, like, it per se is not, like, I don't really see anything really interesting. You know what I mean? I'm not taking anything away from that guy, whoever that, the Jed Jacobson guy, but it feels like I've actually seen something like this before. You know what I mean? And it's like, there's nothing new. I don't get really excited actually seeing it. It's like, oh, okay, you've got four different colors. I think it's very, very good. But, you know, or am I?
Yeah, I just disagree. And the reason that I don't like Brendan's picture very much is that it really probably comes down to lighting and exposure. And it just looks hazy and washed out. And I'm not sure if he could have done anything to it.
It's kind of like that after the fact. Though, it's that washed out look. You know, we all love washed out looks these days, the desaturated Instagram looks. Don't we all?
I don't know. This one needed...
It's not crisp enough for you, young man. That's what it is. Huh? It's not crisp enough for you.
I think that's probably part of it. And you know, I sympathize because they do windsurfing and kite surfing and whatever other crazy extreme kind of sports. They do it on San Francisco Bay, not far from where I used to live. And I remember when I was just getting started and, you know, didn't have any access to anything real, I would just ride my bike down to where they do all these wind sports. It, you know, it's kind of the same thing. Like, it's near a bridge, so you have this bridge in the background, and other than the bridge, all you have are other people who are out on the water and then the water itself. And they do it when the wind is there, not when the light is best. So you really do have to work with what you have, and it's not like you're going out there with strobes or something like that, so you're really limited. And I sympathize, but to me, it's, I don't know, it just doesn't speak to me, because the composition isn't strong enough to overcome the kind of flat looking, you know, colors and tones and all that kind of stuff. And it, you know, if he had gone the other way and like completely, or, you know, almost completely desaturated everything, like, so the water was the same general tone as the trees or something like that, then, you know, then it starts to look like a lithograph or something, and maybe that would have been cooler. But I would have liked to have seen it the other way, where, you know, there was more pop to it, because, well, like, that's why
I think if I have to nitpick about it, is the fact that if the guy was doing something more interesting, it would have been even better, you know? I mean, if it was flipping or doing some sort of crazy action thing, it would have been good, but I don't know, I kind of like that washed out look of the whole thing. It's a bit surreal, you know? I think if I have to go back and do it again, the whole thing, I would have actually chosen the one you chosen as well. But I think for me, like, I think it just really struck me, you know, as like, wow, like, this is, you know, he thought about it. Like, it's an accidental background thing. Like, it's like, I'm going to put this in a background, and I, you know, that's what I did.
Yeah, I think that he's more, you know, that there was care that went into it, and he should be applauded for that for sure. But sometimes the best laid plans don't actually work out all that well, and it's because of things that are beyond your control. It's like we were talking about, you have a great picture, but somebody's checking their cell phone in the background, and what are you going to do? You know, there's nothing. And so he just didn't have the benefit of shooting in light that made this jump off the page, and I just feel it suffers.
Okay, I guess we have to agree to disagree. I mean, I like the other one as well, Matt. Don't get me wrong, I really do.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it feels really like, to me, been there, done that type of thing. You know what I mean?
All right.
This is a matter of composition. I'm going to look at it objectively, and I will have to give it to the Formula One thing, because it is a matter of composition. And it is, he did think about cutting these things into different lines and colors. And for that, I think it's a lot more in terms of, you know, thoughtfulness, I think, than the one I've chosen. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's first. The guy, the dude, is second. And I think, yeah, we'll have to go with the goalie, huh? Because the bat thing, if the bat was in focus, I really, really, yeah, that would have been third.
So Brendan is second. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next month for you win, we will have
details.
Matt will, well, by the time this comes out, Matt will have a blog post out telling you exactly what he means by details, because when he was telling me about it, it felt like my mom back in the days when I was trying to describe to her how to play Super Mario Brothers type of thing. So it made no sense to me. So he will describe it to us in minute details how we should look at this details competition for next month. And that's it, really, for you guys. We'll And with that, we end the 26th episode of Big Lens Fast Shutter. Special thanks to Boltzmann, aka Arvin Batista, for the icons, and Rob, with two B's, for putting everything together. Really cannot do this without them. To check out their info as well as ours, please check out biglensfastshutter.com. See you next month.